Hello everyone, this is Aditya Mehta, your host at the podcast on personality development. Coming back with the new season, The Career Stream, where I'm going to bring the career experts from all around the world so that we can learn some valuable skills to set our course to the best career possible. So make sure to hit that follow button so that you don't miss out any episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'm glad you're here. Hello everyone, this is Aditya Mehta and you are listening to the podcast on personality development. A lack of boundaries invites a lack of respect. With technology, flexible work and ever-changing workplaces, it is really difficult to set healthy boundaries. So, to give a detailed insight on how to set these healthy boundaries on workplace, we have a NABIT accredited trainer and a certified image consultant with an overall experience of over 17 years. She also has a Scottish Qualification Authority certification for soft skills, and she has also worked in the field of women empowerment and education for underprivileged as well. She is Sangeeta Provedi. First of all, Sangeeta, it is a complete pleasure to have you on this show. I really appreciate that you are here on this show to add some value to it.
Thank you so much, Aditya, for having me on this show with you and giving that wonderful introduction. Thank you so much for that. I'm sure your audience would want to know something more about me as a person, because all that you gave them information was about my certifications. So behind all of these certifications and all the qualifications probably that I carry, is a mother, okay, of a 21-year-old. So juggling that was a learning experience, I would say. And having worked in the corporate field with various departments has added immense value to my exposure and experience that I carry over the years. And after my certification, which happened in 2014, when I worked with various industries, whether it is banking, education, or probably for sectors like the NGOs for that matter, I got to realize how important my role in all of this was. Because I was touching so many people who felt that I was adding value to their lives. So that is something that immensely changed the way I look at my career, my profession, and the way I reach out to people.
Right.
And for all you know, the viewers also would want to understand that Sangeeta is an extremely creative person. I'm a trained classical dancer, so that brings in a lot of discipline in my life. Having said that, I love food. So I kind of can eat any kind of food at even 3 a.m. So I'm a crazy fun person otherwise. Anything else that I would want to share about myself? Yes. What I also want to share with my audience here is that when I'm in front of my participants, when I'm training, it gives me a kick. It gives me a high. Okay. So that's something that I love about my profession.
Wow, that's really wonderful. And I'm pretty much sure with all those things you carry with yourself, I'm so much sure that you are going to add some great value to this show and its audience as well. However, on your social media pages as well, and also the intro, which I read about you, okay, there is this one simple line which you have written. Before diving into the topic, I would like to ask that first, that, you know, training enables you to reach out to individuals and, you know, to basically influence them and, you know, improve their capabilities as well. At what level did you achieved that state, and what made you think that you achieved that state? And for the very first thing, when did you felt that training is something which actually gives you kick and, you know, it gives you high, you know? So what was that time and
What's the experience that all about?
Sure. So, Aditya, the very first training that I was lined up for was a college, an engineering college. So what I was told was there will be about 70 participants, that is 70 students in the room who will be attending. But when I reached there, I had about 140 students in the room because another trainer who was supposed to come in did not show up for some personal reasons and they had to club the batch. So for me, standing in front of that crowd, which I was not prepared for, at the same time, I had no time to take things into my control or prepare or even think what I want to do. So in the next half an hour time that I was there in front of my audience, I was in a position to put them to a state where they are ready to listen to me. Where they are willing to say that, yes, she's here to add some value to us. She's here to tell us something that we probably will be able to use in the future. So that half an hour time, an interaction that I had with my audience completely changed my perspective to training. Because for me as a trainer, when I finished my certifications and all of that, when all my trainers guided me that how much we can impact and all, I took it as a story. I took it as a story they were telling me. But when I personally experienced that with the amount, the number of people sitting in front of me and the kind of impact I could create in that conversation that I had with them, it kind of told me that I have it in me where I can make people listen to what I want to deliver to them. At the same time, when students come back and send me a mail saying that, Sangeeta, I got this offer from so-and-so company and this from your training, which I attended, helped me crack this interview. That tells me that somewhere down the line, I'm making some difference to the people I'm actually going ahead and meeting every day. It also means when I'm meeting women from NGOs. Ma'am, aajkal mera bachcha meri baatein bahut zyada sunta hai. Main utni gussa nahi karti hu usse. Mujhe samajh mein aata hai ki usse kaise baat karna hai. So all of these things are certain aspects which tell me that I am doing some work with some purpose. So that's what the statement means to me, that it enables me and the kind of respect it gives back. Irrespective of the financial aspects which come with it, the immense respect that comes to me is something that I can never express in words.
Wow, that's pretty wonderful, Sangeeta. Like, yeah. I'll just tell you this, and I can completely relate this as well, because in March 2020 during COVID times, I introduced this podcast as well, and I wasn't planning to go till, basically to come till season 5. I was like, let's see how it goes. But, as you mentioned, when you get those valuable feedbacks, with your podcast, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I came to know about this. And all these things matters the most as trainers or even as podcasters or even an artist, okay? I think these are the things which matters the most for motivation and for motivating us to go on, in irrelevant of all the challenges which come in our way. But these are some, bombs to that challenges that the challenges will just explode in front of you and you can still go ahead with all these motivations you have. So wonderfully explained. And I'm pretty much sure that whatever you are doing, okay, it's just wonderful. And I'm pretty sure someday even I will be attending your session. But today what we are going to do is we are going to listen to you for the most amount of time. So diving straight into the topic, okay, the topic is about setting boundaries at workplace. And since you have worked in different departments and corporates as well, the very first thing which I would like to ask you is, what setting boundaries, okay, means to you, and why is it important for all the people out there to set certain boundaries, whether it is physical boundaries, mental boundaries, and the most difficult one, emotional boundaries. So, what exactly is the importance of that according to you?
First of all, when we talk about the corporate setup, And when we are relating it to setting off boundaries, I would relate it with taking off ownership as to whether it is a line of work or a line of behavior, the attitude you carry and the emotional status that you behave with others around you. It's kind of an ownership that you have to probably have at various levels. Now, setting boundaries could be work-related aspects like certain task is assigned to me and my boundary does not end here or does it end here? Am I doing this work to the fullest of possible ways that I'm assigned to do this at? Or do I need to go an extra mile to complete this? Or for that matter, I have assigned it to another individual after a certain level. In spite of that, am I taking that line or that boundary to another level where I'm extending help to go and support that person? It depends from individual to individual. At the same time, every corporate has their own way of working. Now, for example, there are companies who does not want one department interfering with the other department. Right? Now, there are teams who go hand in hand. They want to have support provided from one team to the other. Now, here, setting of boundaries or that line of work would vary from organization to organization. Now, I have worked with certain MNCs where the security of information has been extremely high. So I will not be able to talk about the name of the company, the member that I worked with, what kind of training that I gave them, because they are at a level where they don't want to reveal it to people around saying that this person had to undergo this training or maybe this person was incapable of something. Now, here it is my boundary to understand, even though it is not a written format where I have given it to them, that I will not go ahead and reveal about this organization or this member anywhere. It is kind of a line that I have set for myself that I respect my kind of work and what they expect out of me. So it is not always in a written format ki yahan pe aapka boundary khatam hota hai ya fir this is where you have to extend your support beyond this line. It need not be in that manner. It always depends on how much you take ownership of what you're doing. Now when I say I set my boundaries, there are certain things that I want to talk about myself personally on a social media platform. I set my boundaries according to the platform that I'm trading with.
Right.
So on a corporate level, again, like I said, it is something every organization has the leeway to decide upon. And that is where probably the HR comes into picture and they draw these lines or these boundaries clearly. At the same time, emotionally, when we talk about a setting of boundaries, as we grow up the ladder in a corporate, okay, this boundary becomes even more crucial. Wherein as a leader, you need to be available for your team to come kind of bank on you. At the same time, you cannot get carried away with their emotions as well. So you need to have that boundary set very clearly. I cannot sit and cry with my team member who's coming and venting things to me. At the same time, I need to be empathetic. I need to be there to understand what they're saying. I need to be there to listen to what they're telling me. So as a leader, these boundaries become very crucial. And they become very critical as well. So for a leader to be in that emotional state, to be able to understand this boundary is absolutely necessary. And the other aspects, when we talk about the physical boundary of work per se, I wouldn't think that any small organization would have these kind of understandings, wherein one member does multiple tasks. He's kind of playing the HR role. He's kind of playing the, the production role, various roles they're playing. But when we move into a bigger organization and a bigger, probably an MNC or something like that, these boundaries become more clearer. And the job responsibilities getting assigned to individuals become more clearer. That itself is setting boundaries. So I feel all of this boils down to the ownership, because as a leader also, I said, if the leader is not taking ownership of their own teams, he would not be empathetic.
Probably
he would have all these conversations on a coffee table in the cafeteria, which has no boundaries.
True. That is wonderfully explained. That is wonderfully explained, Sangeeta. I really, really appreciate this answer. However, you know, there are certain individuals, okay, who are unable to set those boundaries as well. And the boundaries which you talked about is definitely important. But apart from those boundaries as well, there are certain boundaries, like I told you that, you know, the physical boundaries that binds us, that, you know, if it is a 9-to-7 job and someone is calling you at 9:30 or maybe 10, okay, and since it is work from home, okay, this has been a quite common vendetta nowadays, okay, but still we have to set the boundary that after 7 or after maybe 8 p.m. I'm not going to pick up a phone, or maybe I'm not going to attend any event after my working hours, or maybe, you know, sometimes when you join an office, or, you know, there is a friend of yours who is actually, you know, roaming around and he has completed, let's say, all its work, or maybe he's not even bothered about his work, and he just comes around and says, oh, you know what, let's have some tea below. And all these things happens regularly in the office as well, where, you know, in these kind of situations, what happens is that an employee who actually made sure that he wants to work in a corporate, but sometimes ends up being into the environment of toxicity or politically toxic environment. He ends up being there, rather than, you know, working on, you know, making sure that all the things are in proper order. So what would you suggest to maintain those physical boundaries when it comes to employees, you know, like colleagues to colleagues, where you don't want to spoil any relationship, but at the same time, you want to maintain that boundary that, you know, you have to do what is being said to do, rather than going with a colleague who might not be bothered about his work to have a chai at the tea stall, rather than, you know, completing your work and giving the best output you get in the particular working hours. So what would you like to suggest on that?
So Aditya, even here, I would point out to this term that I used earlier, the ownership of the individual, where he kind of binds himself for that 8 hours window or 7 hours window that he is assigned with, or a 9-to-5 timing that he's assigned with. At the same time, is my ownership also to help the other member who's working actually to fulfill a task? So do I want to answer that call and help him out? My ownership is the call that I would take here. Do I want to extend that time? That's something that individually one person would decide. Now, at the same time, you will definitely have people who are distracting you, who's not bothered about their own boundaries, right? Who's not bothered about their own responsibilities in a given time frame. Now, here also, as an individual, what is it that you prioritize? Do you prioritize having that good time with your friend instantly? Or are you looking at that long-term result of giving in that time in for an organization or the work that you are dedicated to work with? Take a call accordingly. Now, here it is easy to say. It is absolutely easy to say that you need to take that. Don't go behind instant gratification, where you know at the chai counter, when you go and sit with your friend, you would have a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of gala time and all of that, which is very tempting, right? At the same time, when you want to extend that 1 hour, I mean, just before 1 hour of completion of your shift, you know you're tired and you want to still complete that report which has to go in today, but you have something which is very tempting to you. Now, instead of going behind that instant gratification, are you looking at spending that 1 hour of time on that report? Or do you want to spend half an hour on that chai and come back and complete that report in half an hour, where you might end up doing that errors, where your quality of work may get impacted because you have not given the ample amount of time required there? Again, take a call as an individual. Now, it depends on individual perspective and the way you prioritize things. There is always no hold on you going out for that small distraction around you. That's always possible. Now, as an individual, when you get distracted like this, how often are you getting distracted? Is that become a pattern with you? Is that turned out to be your habit? Are you running away from the actual task, which probably the task is not so difficult, but then doing it towards the end of the day, spending that 1 hour on that task, that mental state is a difficult thing to overcome.
Right.
Task to have every month I do it, or every week I do it. So I know how to do it like in a short span of time. But then the trauma of sitting with it for the last 1 hour, when my friend is inviting me for that chai there, that becomes a little difficult state to overcome. Now, here it is about how you prioritize your work and how you prioritize your personal life as well, or probably your friend circle. Now, getting carried away is a very easy thing. Getting carried away is a very easy thing. And I would say assign a time for such activities. Chai ke liye jab bhi mujhe chahiye main uthke jaunga, ye not that kind of an attitude. Maybe you will set, you will, as soon as I complete this report every day which has to go out, I will take a 10-minute break. And you have gained it. You have actually won that. You have earned it. So you will be at freedom to go ahead and enjoy that time as well. I wouldn't say stop yourself from doing these kind of activities, because these are the activities which kind of bring in the balance in your life, in your thought process, right? So set time aside for these kind of activities. So that would become, maybe you can tell your friend, I'm just working on this report. I should be able to complete in the next 45 minutes, 15 minutes, we'll go out before winding up for the shift, and not before finishing the report. So probably these things have to be prioritized by individuals. And as leaders also, when we see these kind of behaviors coming from members around us, we also need to understand at what time of the day are we assigning tasks to members. Do we need to push these kind of reports or these kind of work towards the end of the day where the energy levels are low, where maybe the distraction is more? So understand all of these aspects as well. I'm sure most of the situations, it may not be possible. However, you might give them the leeway to go ahead and do that at a comfortable time where you know the quality of work will not get impacted. That's something that we could do as leaders.
That's again amazingly explained, Sangeeta, and I really, really appreciate the detailed answer of that. However, you know, I gave you an example of where, you know, a friend or a colleague is distracting you for going to a chai. But most of the times, let's say, you know, a person has completed his work and he goes to a tea stall to have some tea. But the conversation over there normally continues after coming back to your desk as well, right? And that's again, you know, you have to set your boundaries over there as well, that whatever talk you are going to have in at a tea stall, it's not going to continue coming back at your desk. And apart from those things, you know, the worst things which happens, okay, to normally every employee is they are getting influence that the organization doesn't care about the employees, okay, or rather than, you know, a leadership is a toxic leadership rather than a good leadership, okay. So the positivity which an employee carries somewhere dies because of you know, the boundaries which is not being set about what to talk, you know. I mean, like all the negative stuffs, okay, which will be a conversation point at a tea stall, and that shouldn't affect us. That's the very first point. And the second thing, that it shouldn't be continued coming back at my own desk. So what would you suggest in this scenario where, you know, you have negativity and maybe you might have a continuation of that process rather than it should be stopped long time ago?
So Aditya, when you were asking me this question, there is this word which you brought up, employee. Okay. The minute a person is being treated as an employee, his behavior turns out to be like an employee. The minute we treat them as a team member, he behaves like a team member responsible for the team's success or probably not being successful. Right. So as a team, as an organization, what is it that you make your members feel like? So when they go out for that cup of tea, the conversation they have had, if they are able to bring it to the table and they are able to waste that amount of time on non-productive talks, okay, don't you think we have not made them feel that they own this team? We have made them feel that whatever they behave or whatever work they do, they're getting paid for, right? That is the perspective. That is the way they are going to work as well. इट्स लाइक पीपल मे हैव हर्ड और प्रोबब्ली पीपल मे हैव सेड इतना पैसा ना इतना ही मिलेगा. दैट इज द एटीट्यूड पीपल आर गोना कैरी. And the minute they feel that this team is mine and whatever I do here is going to impact the way the team success comes out, do you think they will bring such conversations to the table? Don't you think they will be more productive in their offices? The minute they feel that this team's success is because of me, it is a kind of treatment or the kind of approach we have towards the teams. Now, when the leader makes them feel that you are an employee and I am your boss, that's the treatment that they are going to give you in return. The minute you make them feel that you are a team member and I am part of the team, we work together, we collaborate to bring the success to the team, I'm sure everyone will go ahead and put in the effort to become successful.
Right.
The minute you don't bring that feeling in the member, you are actually telling them you behave like an employee now. Because for an employee, it is fine for him to waste that time at the desk. How does it make any difference to my life if that report goes a little late?
Right.
So probably it's a kind of a circle or kind of a space we are creating for them. And at the same time, when the members behave like employee all the time, they will not see growth. The minute they feel they are a member, they are going to contribute to the success of the organization, they are growing up the ladder. And these are the people who grow up the ladder, if you have noticed.
Yeah.
People who behave only like employees will remain an employee. Because they have become stagnant in the kind of conversations they have, in the kind of behavior they have.
Correct. Yeah, that's really insightful over here, Sangeeta. As you mentioned yourself, that the employee is going to be an employee, okay? But, you know, there are certain times where when that employee meets a team member, okay? So at that point of time, even team member has to be very much sure that, you know, I don't get into the conversations like this, okay? Because ultimately, what it is going to do is, if I'm going to get into that, I'm probably getting influenced by the other person to not like my leader, although he might be doing a great job in making me a team member. But, you know, it's like having that mango in the, you know, a mango which is rotten, and there are other mangoes in the basket, but it will actually make sure that each and every mango ends up being rotten because of that one mango. So, you know, the same might happen in the office as well. And it is really important that a team member, okay, I'm going to use that term now. Okay. So, you know, there might be a situation where a team member is actually maybe getting influenced and he's now getting confused. Let's say even while listening to this podcast, okay, he's still getting confused. Like, what I'm going to do, I don't know. I mean, this person is saying me this, and I now don't know what to do and what kind of attitude should I have. So what suggestion would you like to give to those people right away?
So Aditya, it is definitely going to be a mix of employees and members when you go into organizations. Whoever are these members who genuinely want to work towards the growth and all of these things, they will find their ways. Now, for example, in a simple conversation where members or employees are talking about maybe bad mouthing the organization or a leader for that matter. Now, if I am a member, which I have also gone through, I have started my career as a member. So I would ideally not want to get into such conversations. I'm there, but I would not want to involve in such conversations. At the same time, I would try probably better means to go ahead and put a stop to that conversation because I don't appreciate it. I could probably ask questions like, what made you say so? What makes you feel so? I kind of try and bring that person, that employee who's probably talking nothing that is making sense or probably baseless, right? All of this, you're trying to bring them to an adult zone. You're making them think. Do you have any base for what you're telling me? What made you feel so? What makes you say so? And when you question them, if they don't have an answer, the conversation ends there. Next time they see you around in that group, they will not bring these kind of conversations. They know for sure that you might ask questions which will force them to think and probably you not have answers for. So if a member finds that things are being pushed onto him or he's getting influenced, if he's genuine with his priorities, with the kind of ownership that they want to probably depict in their work and stuff like that, they will find these kind of questions. I don't mean to say that they can get into an argument. It is only to tell the person that whatever you're telling me right now, is it something that you are talking out of some proof? That kind of a statement, that kind of a question, when you push into their heads, you will see that the other person kind of feels and understands that whatever I'm talking is something which is not making sense and people around me will not appreciate it. Wow. And these kind of situations are definitely going to come up.
100%. And that's wonderful counterattack kind of thing. Although you are not getting into the argument, but you are making sure that you are not getting influenced. Instead, you are giving him some value that, you know, like as you mentioned, that you are bringing him to the adulthood. And that's just really, really amazing. And I really appreciate the answer. And I'm pretty sure, you know, like many extroverts, okay, and introverts at the same time might not have thought about it. Although introverts mainly, they are not very outspoken, but they do keep their boundaries aside. However, extroverts in this case are little bit behind because what I'm going to say next is about emotional boundaries, which we set, okay, in the work organization, because I think it is the most difficult thing to have in the organization, because you are always going to get upset by looking at someone else's bad day, right? And this is always going to happen, but you have to make sure that those things shouldn't affect you at the same place, because it's again going to impact your work and your performance as well. And apart from that, what happens is that you just cannot shut that feeling, or you cannot even shut your empathy in that matter, that I'm not going to bother like what he is going through. But at the same time, you go to him, you talk to him, but at the same time, you make sure that that is not affecting you, and you are not feeling the same emotions which the other guy is feeling. Okay. Which is probably going to get into your performance as well. So any tips or tricks on those emotional boundaries which you have to set in the corporate culture, which will be really helpful for all the people?
So if you look at the way we are talking about emotional aspects, maybe 2 decades ago was a completely different story. And today what we talk about it is completely different. Earlier, if you had a friend and you had someone who was low, you would sit next to them and tell them, until you tell me, I'm not going to move from here. That was the case. You have to tell me. That was how you would kind of probably let them or force them to talk to us about their difficulties or challenges. Today, we are in a state where we sit next to the person and we tell them, hope you're okay. Tell me when you want to talk to me. I'm here to listen to you. That is a state we are in. Because the kind of work or the kind of lifestyle that we deal with today is completely different from about two decades ago. Now, when we talk about the corporate aspects, we are working online. We are working with technology, right? So here again, there is a lot of emotional disconnect, right? And when we are meeting people also, and when people are coming with their emotional baggages, understand that when you are there next to them to listen to them, you should be only listening to them. You are not going to solve everything that they bring onto the table. First, primarily understand that the person needs an ear to hear them out. Not always looking for a solution. Now, here it is also important, what is the kind of boundary you have with that individual? Is it only work-related aspects, or are we good friends beyond work? Do we interact and do we exchange even personal aspects? Understand all of this. Now, depending on that, if you are a leader Okay. Whether you have a friendship with that person or no, you still have to stick to the professional boundary where you sit and talk to them and try to understand what the challenges that they're going through. Understand if it is something that you can help them out with. Because most cases, we cannot help them out with it. Yeah. Ask them, is there something that I can do about it? Would you want me to check with someone with HR who can find you some help to probably solve this for you? Because usually HR has the kind of support, the psychological support required at many situations. Because every leader may not be able to provide that. Yes, but if it is something related to procedure, something related to probably any other aspect, which as a leader you can support, you would tell them, I would direct you to so-and-so person. Probably they will be the right people to help you out. Now here, just by giving them guidance, you have done your job.
Right.
You don't have to sit and cry with them.
Mm.
When you do that, you are actually becoming a prey to that person. Uska khud ka jo challenges hai, they are already there. You are only adding to it. And he came to you for help. Don't make it more difficult for him. At the same time, when this kind of conversations happen, be emotionally very strong in front of them. You might want to tell them, I understand. But first of all, ask yourself, do you really understand?
Right.
Because that's become a very abused kind of a statement. I understand.
Hmm.
Sorry about that. But what are you sorry for?
Hmm.
Okay. Now, when say, for example, when a client talks about a loss, a fire accident, say, for example. Okay. And when I approach them and I'm talking to them, sorry about the loss that you have incurred. And I came to talk about so-and-so business aspects. Instead, I would say, I would talk about whether any casualties, hope things are taken care. And are the team members fine now? Has production started full-fledged? Do you require some more time to come back and talk about work? That's extremely bad of what happened in that fire accident. So probably when you pacify, when you actually talk about the real problem, you are touching on the human side of it. Simply by saying, I understand as a leader, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I have not gone through all the challenges. So how am I just saying I understand and trying to tell the person that I am empathetic to you? I become empathetic the minute I say, I see the problems around it. Then I'm trying to tell you, if you need any support, I can guide you for so-and-so thing. If I can help you out this. Or at the max I can say is, you can always feel free to talk to me. I'm here to listen to you. So understand these boundaries as well as an individual. You don't need to be a psychologist to go and listen to people. You only have to be a good listener for that. Start from there. And when you listen to another person, you are actually respecting them. You're actually respecting them when you listen to the other person. And when you bring in these kind of emotional baggages onto your work front, first of all, prioritize and understand, do you really want something which is happening personally impacting your work? Do you want to keep them separate? Do you want to deal with as a different person altogether? I'm sure it is not very easy. At the same time, keep your leaders informed of what you're going through. Keep them informed that this is something which is happening in my personal life and it is impacting me a lot. I might show up a little late because this is what I'm dealing with, but don't take it as an advantage at the same time. Right? At the same time, when you are informing your leader about such things, it is also to tell them that I need you to listen to me when I want to talk to you. That is the most important thing, because these days people are so lonely living in their own spaces. They want people to listen to them.
Yeah, that is so true. Yeah.
And they're not looking for solutions all the time. They're only looking for people who can listen to them and tell them that, yes, you can talk to me. So create that space. Even in the workspaces, create that workspace where people feel free to and comfortable to come and reach out to you when they have any concerns, professional, personal, or maybe an emotional trauma that they're dealing with.
True. That's wonderfully said, Sangeeta. I mean, I completely saw a different perspective over there and I completely understood what you were trying to say. So wonderfully explained. I really, really appreciate it. Sangeeta, we are almost at the end of this episode now, and I really appreciate all the in-depth answers which you gave, and I'm pretty much sure that all the audiences are going to get a great value with all the words which has come out from you. I mean, that's just wonderfully explained. And with that being said, this is one question which I ask to every guest who comes on this show. So I'll be asking you as well. If audiences wants to get in touch with you, okay, if they want to get connected with you, where they can find you?
Well, I am on social media, on Instagram and on Facebook. I'm not very active. I'm not a social media person, I would say. I would definitely say okay. that. But I'm trying really hard to be on social media, especially for Instagram. They can connect with me on Instagram. I think you will be sharing those details as well, right, Aditya?
Right.
I actually have this handle, which is Connect at Tattoo Training Consults. You can also connect with me on my personal handle as well, if you feel you want to connect with me on a personal side as well. At the same time, you can also write a mail to me, right? Connect at Tattoo Training Consults. That's the ID that you can connect with. And more details Aditya will have in case you want to get in touch with me. So you can just probably message him and he will have you guys connected to me.
Wonderfully said. So audience, I know that's a lot of information to take on, but you are just a click away from her. What you have to do is just go in the description panel and you are going to find all the details you want to know about her. So make sure to get connected with her and make sure to, you know, raise questions to her. I mean, that's completely fine with her and she is there to talk with you. So make sure you do that. With that being said, this is Aditya Mehta along with Sangeeta Krubidi will be signing off from this episode. But apart from that, make sure if you feel that this episode and this podcast adds value in your life, then make sure to share it with your loved ones as well. Thank you so much. This is Aditya Mehta along with Sangeeta signing off. See you in the next one. Till then, peace out.